This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar. And actually, I was over there with a friend of mine, Buddy Royston, before I left to come here. And it is absolutely a gorgeous day. We ate on the outside. And I want to let you know that they have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. Enjoy their Sunday live brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TV, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. I have a very great guest on today, special guest, Mike Courtney. And Mike, you have your own business here in Rutherford County, but you have quite an interesting background. Kind of give us a little bit of information on where you came from and how you got to this point.
Sure, Truman. It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Glad to have you.
It's always fun to be at WGNS, and I've done lots of different things here, and it's fun to be on your show. In fact, I'm so excited to be here. I came last week on the wrong day, so it's nice to be here on the right day.
Wonder if that wasn't my fault.
No, I don't think it was.
I'm not the best scheduler.
Forgotten lots of things. I'm sure that was it. But I managed to stop in the offices a long way and look like I was here on purpose, so it wasn't too bad. I grew up in the South. I was born in Indiana, but moved pretty quickly to the South, Kentucky and Tennessee mainly, Southern Kentucky and Tennessee and South Carolina.
At least you did get south when you got to Tennessee.
I finally started moving that way. Yeah, I graduated from Myrtle Beach High School in South Carolina. Yeah, moved quite a bit and ended up there, and then came back to Nashville. Went to college in a small little college in Nashville, Trevecca. It's now Trevecca University. It wasn't even big enough to be a university when I went to school there.
And actually, it's a great school.
It really is. You know, obviously I love the big university and respect MTSU and that kind of thing, but there's something about that smaller community. There were about 1,100 students there when I was a student there, and so you just knew everybody, knew the professors, and it's just a great atmosphere. It was it was right for me. It was the right thing for me.
Now, why did you choose Trevecca? Because there had to be something special that you were looking at.
Yeah, well, I had a background in the church. My father was a minister, and Trevecca is a church school. That was interesting. I wanted to play basketball, and I wasn't very good, so it seemed like a small college.
Yeah, so why not go to a small college?
Go someplace where they're not very good. So that worked out well. But, you know, I think as much as anything else, I was attracted to that small environment, small campus. I kind of came from Myrtle Beach at that time, was relatively small as
a town. I remember Myrtle Beach. We used to go there when I was stationed at Fort Bragg.
Oh, yeah.
The guys would go there.
When I was growing up in Myrtle Beach, the population was about 20,000 9 months out of the year, and then 250,000 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a small town and friends from all that. So I like the small school atmosphere. And I was at Trevecca. I crammed 4 years of college into 6 years.
It was that's normal.
That's right. It was a fun place to be.
Yeah.
I from growing up with a background in the church and from being at a Christian college, I chose to go into the ministry and actually became a youth pastor, then an associate pastor, and a pastor in kind of a mainline denomination, and pastored for 25 years.
Wow.
Enjoyed helping people, working with people, and talking was not a problem for me, so that worked out well when I was preaching on Sunday mornings. maybe a little too well. Some people thought I went on a little too long.
That's a no-no.
Yeah, that's right. You know what it means when a minister takes his watch off before he speaks. Absolutely
nothing.
You're
in trouble. Yeah, you're in trouble.
It means absolutely nothing. But during most of that time, married a beautiful Middle Tennessee girl from Gallatin. Had two incredible sons, Truman. My boys are now 30 and 25. They both grew up here in
Murfreesboro. You look like you're not old enough for that.
Well, I was.
You've taken care of yourself.
I was 12 when we got married. And, you know that old. Just a great family life, but I struggled with kind of some hidden addictions most of that time. Mm-hmm. Some things from my family of origin. Just grew up with a lot of hidden depression and addictive behavior. And after 25 years of ministry, my family pretty much fell apart. My wife left, and she should have. Mm-hmm. She should have left 15 years earlier. My oldest son at that time was out of the house. He was in college. My youngest son was still at home. So my wife left and took our youngest son. And so after 25 years, I found myself with, and you know, churches kind of frown on it when their parsonage family falls apart like that. So I found myself with no job, no career, no home, no family, just absolutely at the
after
bottom of my rope.
25 years.
Yeah.
That's
just
amazing.
Just hit the end. I was at just the bottom of my rope. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I went to a clinic in Phoenix, Arizona, and spent a few weeks there. And two things happened, I have to say, while I was there. One of them is, I just believe this, and I know people listening are from kind of all different backgrounds and walks of faith, but one of them is that God healed me.
Right.
He just did something, and there was one moment when I was struggling with this addiction and the next moment when I wasn't. But the second thing is I began to learn the process of staying healed. Mm-hmm. So I tell people all the time, it was God's job to heal me, but it's been my job for the last 11 years to stay healed. Mm-hmm. I finished my time there, understood the roots of a lot of this, and came back to Middle Tennessee and started putting my life back together. My wife and I never divorced. We were separated for almost a year, but God began to work in my life and in her life and restored our marriage. Today, she is my best friend. We've been married 34 years. The boys think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. They call me two or three times a day. They both live here in Middle Tennessee. And we just, everything that had fallen apart has been restored in just a miraculous way. And all of that led then to a significant career change.
Now you almost have a reversal of what we're usually used to in those type of situations, because when someone goes into the ministry, they have a calling to go into that. And, of course, you grew up in it.
Right.
Which is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But when you go into the ministry, you're used to dealing with people who are going through all of those things that you said you're going through. Did you ever recognize when you were talking to individuals about their particular problem, did you recognize your problems at the time? Because I know if anybody has ever had a job where they deal with emotional and stressful times in people's lives, a lot of times you don't actually see. I mean, you're
right.
Not imaging yourself into what they're doing.
Yeah, I think we have, and especially men, Truman, especially men, we have an incredible ability to compartmentalize.
Right.
And to say, well, you know, this thing that's happening in my life over here, I just keep that in that little box. And that doesn't really affect everything else. So I see somebody, talk to some guy whose family is falling apart, and my stuff is in my box over here. So that really doesn't affect me. And while I would have conversations that certainly reminded me of some things that were lacking in my life, no, I never really talked to anybody that said, oh, that's me and I need help. Until the bottom fell out, I really was never allowed myself to come to the point to say I've got a problem and I need to deal with this.
People don't realize that depression is such a hidden disease that most people really don't even, they think they have some kind of physical problems or whatever,
right.
and they're not able to meet their normal responsibilities and things like that. And it just slips right up on you. I wouldn't be surprised if most people haven't gone through certain types of depression in their lives.
Yeah. Well, you know, statistics say that 80% of the people will have a significant depressive episode at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think that most of the time it's masked. And we live in such a fast-paced, hectic mm-hmm. society with a lot of pressure and anxiety anyway, that it's just kind of masked in the, this is the world we live in, and this is what people go through. But when you finally stop and face it face to face and recognize, I'm reaching a point where I can't function any longer, and there's something that's not out there, there's something in me that's causing that, you begin to be able to find healing from that.
So after you've gone through all of this, and your ship is afloat again, mm-hmm. you might say, you wanted to make sure that everybody else had smooth sailing so they don't have to go through the same stuff that you did.
Well, kind of. You know, I wish I was that noble, made that kind of decision. I wrote a book. I have a friend who does television, mm-hmm. and he invited me to be on his television program, and he said, before you come, you have to write a book, because that's how you get paid. You come on the television mm-hmm. program and sell books. Mm-hmm. And so he kept challenging me, and after about a year, I wrote a book. The title of the book is Failure and How I Achieved It. And I did some television, radio things, and, you know, kind of promoting that book. And mm-hmm. people began to call. And they would say, you know, I've been through a similar thing, and I don't have anybody to talk to. Could I come and talk to you? And my wife and I remember we live, of course, here in Murfreesboro, and we got a call one day from a couple mm-hmm. that said, we're from Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and we need to come talk to you. We're at the airport. I said, you mean you're at the airport getting ready to fly to Nashville? He said, no, we're at the airport in Nashville. We have flown here to find you and talk to you. And so Doris and I began talking to couples, talking to people. After a while, I'm a little slow, but after a while I said, you know, we need to get intentional about this. I went mm-hmm. back to school and finished some graduate work, finished a doctoral program, and about 6 years ago opened a counseling center, a nonprofit counseling center here mm-hmm. in Murfreesboro called Branches. Mm-hmm. We have today 8 therapists. We see about 450 people a month. We deal with depression, anxiety, marital issues, addiction, all kinds of things. But it really came out of that story of mine of kind of reaching the bottom and believing that that wasn't the end, that we could come back from that.
Do you feel like that God's had a hand in everything that you've done from the time that you started your ministry, and he had a plan for you for other things than the ministry inside the church? Now you have a ministry that you have started on your own.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying it that way. I do. You know, I don't know everything I believe about that. I don't think God was designed for me to go through some of the things I went through or put my family through some of the things that we did. But I certainly think he knew he could work all that together for good mm-hmm. and brought me to a place where I feel like in many ways I have the opportunity to help people at least in a different way, but probably in a greater way than I ever did inside the church. And so people today, and we love the church still, but it's just a different place. People today will say, do you miss being in the ministry? And I'll say, well, I'm still in the ministry. And they'll say, oh, that you're counseling, that's ministry. I say, no, my ministry is I mow the grass and mm-hmm. go and eat at the Blue and take care of my grandkids and play tennis. I mean, my ministry is everything that I do, being able to tell that story that, you know, God's never finished with you, that he always has a plan, and that if you allow him to, he can always bring hope to any kind of circumstance.
When you were writing the book, and you were going back through a lot of things that you had to go through, was that sort of like an enlightenment to you as you were doing it? And how was it when you were almost reliving a lot of mm-hmm. those things as you were putting it on paper? Because to me, that could be a thing that maybe opened you up, or maybe it could have gone the other way.
Yeah, I'm sure it could have gone the other way. You know, I hate to say this since I spend most of my days counseling with people, mm-hmm. but that was the most healing thing I ever did. It was the most therapeutic thing, was to sit down and begin to write that story, and somehow seeing it on you know, in black and white, seeing it out in front of me, helped me to understand that you know, I'm responsible for every choice I ever made. I'm responsible for every poor decision. But to a certain extent, those were the cards that I was dealt. You know, my father and his father before him and his father before him all played a part in that. And so it helped me to just lay all that out. A lot of the shame and guilt from my supposed failure was relieved by laying all that out, and then writing the hopeful parts and recognizing, man, the grace of my wife to forgive and to allow me to come back into our family and my sons. So yeah, it was probably as therapeutic a thing as I've ever done. I don't know if we could stand to have everybody who ever goes to counseling write a book, but it's sure a healing process to journal. At least I encourage people to journal, and you know, nowadays with the internet and computers, to blog, just to write things. And you'd be amazed at how many times you write a story about going to a family reunion, mm-hmm. or something like that, and it just helps somebody. It speaks to somebody, and they'll contact you and say, "Man, that really helped me when you said that." That's a part that sounds like my story, and so that was a powerful thing. It was fun to do.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I am as bad as anybody else, but I have been put in a position many times that I can see how sometimes we look at people in a way that we shouldn't. We have a tendency to put preachers, ministers, doctors, people who are in authority in different areas, we put them in an area we think that those people can't fail. I mean, right. They're the ones that are take care of us, and it's like they're in another level where they won't go through the same things that we do. And you know, it's been my experience that the ones who do go through those type of situations understand the people's problems a whole lot better than others who really, they may be going through the problems, but they don't want anybody to know that they exist with them.
Yeah, there's a 12-step wisdom that I share with people all the time. It says, every time we tell our story, our shame is cut in half. And I think those people who have been in those kinds of positions of authority or that kind of thing, that are willing to be honest and open, tell their story, first of all, it reduces the shame in them and the guilt in them, but it also empowers the people that you're talking to. You know, somebody can say, man, if he went through that and he's willing to talk about it, then I can seek help and I can get better. And that's true for major, you know, terrible issues in our life. And that's just true for the little common things. You know, I struggle with my finances. I'm not great at teaching my kids to play ball. I don't spend enough time with my wife. Those small things, if we're willing to just start talking about those to people that we respect, many times we'll find that there's just a lot of healing by speaking that out, being willing to talk about it.
Now, when people come to your clinic, do you give them your book?
You know, in many cases we do. When it's a similar kind of circumstance, we have a development director, and she, I don't know if I've sold a book for a long, long time. I think she gives them all away, but yeah, we, you know, there are people still that ask for it, and it's been around now for 6 years. But
before we forget it, tell me the title of the book.
The title of the book is Failure and How I Achieved It.
Failure and How I Achieved It.
It's a neat story. I always tell people, read it to the end. It gets good at the end. But it's a neat story, and believe it or not, I think it's fun and funny. While it talks about some real tragic things in life, it does it in a kind of a fun and lighthearted way, and I think it's helpful. And you know, you can get it on Amazon or Border Books or something like that, or stop by Branches and get a copy.
Well, the Lime Ball Library should have it, shouldn't they?
Well, they should. I don't know if they do. It's not quite that, you know. It's not a New York Times bestseller, but it's sold few
it's a
thousand
Rutherford
copies,
County
so
bestseller, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's at least a Branches bestseller, so. Yeah, it's a fun book.
So you started your business here.
Right.
And I guess you can call it a business.
Yeah, you know, I call it a business. It was my dream and my vision. We established it as a nonprofit. There's a couple of...
Now, how does that work when it's a nonprofit?
Well, it means that we are directed by a board of directors, not solely by me. It means that while, you know, in all honesty, salaries are paid out of it, the whatever profits are made by the company actually go back into it. Two things were really important for me. One is that we bring together a strong marriage between qualified state licensed therapists and people who have a value system.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that most counselors don't, but that was just an important thing that that you needed to know that there were tried and true techniques to bring about healing, but ultimately the healing came from God. And mm-hmm. and so bringing those two things together. The second thing that was crucial to me, Truman, was that no one would ever be turned away, that you needed to be able to get help regardless of your ability to pay. So we give away about somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000 a year in scholarships for counseling. People are never turned away from branches. You come, and some people pay $5 a week. Some people say they can't pay anything, and that's fine. So all of that seemed like it was important to make it a nonprofit a company. And the part of the way we do that is we're supported by some churches in town and by some individuals, and so that's why it became nonprofit. I was actually... people were coming and beginning to ask about talking to me and seeking counseling, and I was going back and finishing school, and a man in town called me. I'm sure it's okay for me. Tom Crook called me. He owns a building still over on Armory Drive, mm-hmm. Close to the Armory. And I said, I've got a building. I understand you're looking for a building. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. And he said, well, I've got a building I think you're supposed to use. And I went over and talked to him.
Wow.
Great, gracious man. Told him our story. And he tossed me the keys, Truman, and he said, you know what? This is your building. You just do with it what you want to and pay what you can when you can. And so branches started in that place where we didn't have to pay anything. And frankly, we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for that. And we were there for about 3 years until we just outgrew it. We outgrew that building. And now we are on Battleground Drive, close to Kmart, that mm-hmm. Clark Street into Battleground.
Right.
Just out of that, you know, me thinking, well, maybe it's time to start this, and then getting that phone call and him saying, I've got a building. We put up a sign and opened this building. Began to start a lot of support groups, 12-step recovery groups, those kinds of things. And out of that, again, counseling began to thrive until, like I say, today we have 8 therapists. They're full-time, and they just stay as busy as they possibly can. And it's a tremendous gift to see people see their lives changed.
Well, I can tell by talking to you that this is a what they call a labor of love, because I know that's used a lot. But I think this absolutely runs right into it. Now, how do people find out about what you offer, where you are, and if this is going to be what they need?
Oh, that's a great question. And we're trying to do a better job of being more visible and being involved even more in community affairs. We're in the Chamber of Commerce, and they've been very good at helping us get the word out. Mm-hmm. Probably the best thing to do would be to go to our website, mm-hmm. which is www.branchesrecoverycenter.com. That's all one word, branchesrecoverycenter.com. And there you'll see our staff. There's discussions about what we do, how it works, how you can begin seeing someone at Branches. Or you can just call. And the number is 615-904-7170. 615-904-7170. Mm-hmm. And again, someone would be glad to talk to you about your own issues, concerns, and there are a number of different ways that it works, individual counseling, intensives, and we can talk about what all that means. But a lot of the different approaches that we take, and we'd love to talk to people about how we could help. And we're grateful to be a part of a community that embraces this and healing and hope. And Rutherford County and Murfreesboro have been really good to us, and it's exciting to see Branches become more and more a part of Murfreesboro community.
Now, there's people out there maybe listening right now that are going through some hard times, but maybe they really haven't been able to determine exactly what their problems are, but they mm-hmm. know that things are not as well as they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they haven't reached that level of what do you say on Hee Haw? Deep, dark depression and excessive misery,
yeah,
something
that's
like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Can they call and kind of just find you or someone to talk to maybe put a name or maybe what's causing their problems before they ever get into that really bad part?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that's probably the thing to do. I'd encourage them to call, you know, if they just have questions about that. We just, about a week ago, along with Reeve Sane, sponsored a depression screening day. Yes. They're wonderful and great in our community. Mm-hmm. And together we sponsored a depression screening day that was at their location out on Memorial. Mm-hmm. And if I can tell you one story about that, obviously because of, you know, counseling, we keep everything confidential, but this is something that has no name attached to it. But our counselors went out and spent the day there, and people came in and did exactly what you're doing now, ask questions about, this is what I'm feeling, do you think I'm depressed, what should I do? There was a person who came and talked to one of our counselors, and as they talked, one of the questions that the counselor asked is, have you thought of harming yourself, of taking your life? Mm-hmm. And this person said, yeah, I've thought about that. So the next question that we ask is, do you have a plan? Do you know what you would do? And this person said, I have a plan. And in detail, they had thought that out. The third question that we always ask is, would you what we call contract for safety, would you promise me that you won't do that, you won't act on that plan, but you'll call me first or call this number first or go to the emergency room? And that person would not do that, wouldn't promise to do that. So the counselor continued to talk to that person, and before they were finished, that person had come with a friend, and they were able to bring the friend into it, get that person admitted to first the emergency room here and then to a mental health facility here in Middle Tennessee. They stayed for a couple of weeks and now have been released from that and are at Branches for counseling. But we really believe that there was a life saved because mm-hmm. of what Reeve Sane did, and because that was a person that their depression had reached a point where they had a plan. They knew when they were going to do this, they were going to do it, and they weren't going to tell anybody. And so it's important, if you're having thoughts or questions about, man, is this a right way to think? Is there more here than I understand? To make a phone call. That's an important thing to do.
Are you bound, as far as confidentiality is concerned, if a person is telling you that they're contemplating suicide, and if you have a real fear that this person may, unless you can intervene in some way, do you feel that maybe sometimes you might let an agency know that can deal directly with that?
Well, we would always let them know. Yeah, mm-hmm. we are bound by all the laws of confidentiality. Anything that's talked about in a counseling room, you know, like the Las Vegas thing, what mm-hmm. happens here stays here, mm-hmm. with four exceptions. If someone talks about harm that has been done to a child mm-hmm. or to a senior adult, mm-hmm. then we're bound by law to report that. If someone talks about harming someone else, I'm going to go out and take a gun and shoot somebody, then we're bound by the law to report that. Mm-hmm. If we're ordered by the court, I always laugh and tell people, I love you, but I'm not going to jail for you if we're ordered by the court. Mm-hmm. But the fourth and most important, if they say, or we just believe, either way, that they are thinking of hurting themselves, taking their own life, then I will say to a client, you cannot leave here. I can't let you leave this office. I'll call the sheriff. I'll call the emergency room. There's a crisis help center in Murfreesboro that we can call. But we, you know, we have to deal with that and have to report that.
Do you have people, and just stay on that same wavelength, do you have people that feel uneasy about letting, and we're talking about child abuse, elderly abuse, of course, anybody over 90 is an elderly person.
Yeah, yeah, we're way short of that. That's right.
Do you find that they use you as an avenue, a conduit sometimes to maybe look into that rather than going to a law enforcement agency, which of course has to tackle it right there in the front?
They do. They come in and you know, they'll begin to tell a story or give us some information that helps to prompt us to begin to ask further questions. Mm-hmm. But I would say two things about that. Number one, we are as required as any law enforcement agent. We're mm-hmm. required to pursue that, to investigate it, and to make sure that safety is provided for any innocent victim in that. But the second thing I have found with our law enforcement agencies and our child protective services, mm-hmm. they're there to help.
Right.
They are not there to do a witch hunt mm-hmm. or to drag somebody out. And, you know, they're really there to help, and so they do their job and they do what they have to do. But they're, you know, people are so afraid, well, if I mention this, I'm just going to, you know, this name's going to be drug out in the public. Now, their first priority is to protect that innocent victim, but secondly, to try to get help for any individual. So we're very comfortable. We work very closely with the Sheriff's Department and Police Department, and they do a great job.
I can tell the way you were telling that a minute ago, how happy you were that you were able to help this one person.
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, that even if the problems are not that extreme, I think you probably still have the same satisfaction when you're helping people who are going through depression, going through drug problems, abuse-type problems,
right.
and those type things. Can you think of any particular cases, I'm sure there's probably hundreds of them,
right.
that really reach out, of course, without bringing
sure.
up names, we're not
sure.
going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you had mentioned before people that were...
Let's take a break.
Okay, good.
And then we'll be right back with that.
Great.
And I want to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by Pearl and Howerton Automotive, and they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shevelville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, you can call them at 1-800-264-6800, toll-free, or on the internet, pearlhowerton.com. And, of course, all you have to do is jump in your car, drive down 231 South just before you get into downtown Shevelville. They're on your left. And this would be a beautiful day to drive a brand-new car back from Shevelville on 231. It's such a beautiful drive, and it'd be a whole lot nicer if you're driving in your brand-new car.
This is Steve Grimsley with Zippy Shell. Are you looking for storage? Perhaps you're preparing your home for sale, downsizing, or just in need of some extra space. Well, then you should give us a call. We offer convenient, affordable storage solutions right here in Rutherford County. We deliver a storage container to you, you pack it, and we'll pick it up and store your goods in our secure facility. We are locally owned and operated. To check out our grand opening specials, give us a call at 216-7879 or visit us at zippyshell.com. Save time, save money, save everything.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
In our Good Neighbor Events, the play Dracula continues through October the 23rd at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. Performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2. And To Kill a Mockingbird continues at the Art Center of Cannon County. And the 13th annual Fall Harvest Hayride is Friday night from 5 until 8 at the General Bragg Trailhead. And the Ghost Tours continue every Friday and Saturday night this month from 7 to 9:30. You meet right there at the drive-thru at Big B Cleaners. And this is offered by the Shadow Chasers of Middle Tennessee. And a big community yard sale Saturday morning from 7 until 1 in the afternoon at Laverne High School. The Better Business Bureau encourages you to reduce your risk of being a victim of identity theft. Bring old IRS tax forms, checks, credit card statements, and anything a thief could use to steal your identity to the Max Shred truck at the Lowe's parking lot this Saturday. And that's from 9 Saturday morning until noon. Whatever you do, don't miss Harvest Days and the Bicentennial Celebration this Saturday at Cannonsburg Pioneer Village. The admission's free. It starts at 10 this Saturday morning and continues until 5 in the afternoon. And I understand there's going to be a big celebration centered around the Cedar Bucket. And the Contest of Champions is over at the Johnny Red Floyd Stadium this Saturday at MTSU. This is one of the premier high school band competitions in the entire state. That's this Saturday. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
A blend of clouds and some sunshine develops this afternoon, high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, mostly 54. Cloudy on Tuesday with showers and storms, high of 70. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 79 degrees.
And today's special at Kirk & Birch is our award-winning smoked wings. This is Tom. Come over and get you some. They're just 40 cents each. That's Kirk & Birch, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater. Or call in your order at 893-FOOD.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you? Readyvo, readyvo, readyvo meal, I said get yourself to the readyvo meal.
Mike Courtney was wanting to know if that was me singing, Brian. Was it?
Not
sounded good. It sounded good.
We are listening to John Blankenship and Friends. That was John singing. And with him, he had Avant Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood. And what a great band, a great bunch of people. And they're out at the Readyvo Mill every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And they have the most unbelievable breakfast you've ever put in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Of course, they grind the stuff right there at the mill. It's one of the very few working mills that's still left in this country. And Tom Brady went in and refurbished it. And now it is an absolute beautiful place. It is really something that has helped not only Rutherford County, but Cannon County. People come there from all over the Southeast now just to see the place and enjoying the fellowship and the friendship. And you'll see a lot of your old friends there, and you'll make a lot of new friends there. And it's just a wonderful thing that he's done for everybody. And, Mike, I asked you a very tough question a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you had time to contemplate it or not, but some of the stories that people would like to hear, and one of the things you and I are talking about as we were off the air is a lot of people do not like to bring their private lives to anybody.
Right.
I mean, anybody close or whatever. But sometimes you have to be able to use someone else to heal yourself.
Right.
And I know that... you do a tremendous job as far as making sure that everybody is comfortable, and then you start leading them to the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to build some rapport. Mm-hmm. I think in many cases, and we talked about this before we began, we live in such a different culture, fast-paced, and people don't take the time that they used to take for friendships and relationships. If we all had good friends,
mm-hmm.
if we just had those people that we got together with on a regular basis that we trusted and can confide in, we'd all be healthier.
Right.
And we just don't do that as much. And particular, those people in authority, we talked about professional people, ministers and law enforcement people, the people in authority that their position almost makes it difficult for them to develop friendships and relationships, at least open and candid and honest friendships. One of my favorite stories, and we, by the way, this will help make this even a little more anonymous. We have the privilege, I say sometimes we're better known in Tacoma, Washington than we are in Murfreesboro. We have the privilege of helping people from all over the country.
Hmm.
They'll come for intensives. We do an intensive program. Well, they'll stay for a week. They start at 8 o'clock in the morning and go till 8 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. And we feel like it crams about 9 months or a year's worth of counseling into 1 week. And it's very helpful. So people come from all over the country for that kind of thing.
Do they stay at your place, or do they have to have a place somewhere?
We're not residential.
Okay.
We help them. We have several of the hotels in town have been very gracious and give us discounted rates, and
mm-hmm.
even have a couple of businessmen that when that person comes and says, I can't even afford a motel room, we have a couple of businessmen that have apartments and things that they have made available
great,
to us
great.
That they can come and stay.
That's our community.
It is. Mm-hmm. That's. I don't know if that would happen many places besides mm-hmm. Murfreesboro. And we have to be very careful about safety, of course. If
mm-hmm.
someone is deeply depressed and suicidal, then we really have to be careful about that. They'd have to have someone come and stay with them and be with them, that kind of thing. But we got a phone call several years ago now, early in the morning. Actually, I don't know if I should say this on the air. I'm a deer hunter, and I was in
good for you.
I was in a tree stand the opening day of the bow season. I was up in a tree stand and just starting to turn light, and my phone rang, and I usually don't answer. I don't know why I answered. It didn't ring. It buzzed, and I answered it, and it was a professional couple. Mm-hmm. That said, we're in trouble. We've had this crisis, and we've lost everything, and going through this great crisis, and ended up losing their jobs, losing their everything in that, and weren't sure they were going to be able to salvage their marriage. Mm-hmm. But so I got down out of the tree stand. Wasn't real happy about it on that day. I wasn't much of a minister on that day, but we met that afternoon, and then continued to meet over a period of about a year and a half. And they just did the hard work. They did great and did all the work they needed to do to get to the bottom of these kinds of things and to mm-hmm. find healing. And they did, and their marriage was restored. Their life together is great. And now they have gone back into that same profession that they were in, doing well, thriving. And every once in a while they invite me to come down and be a part of what they're doing. And that kind of story makes it all worthwhile when you see them helping other people because of the help they've gotten. And there are a number of stories like that.
And I'm sure you do the same thing for local people for the intense therapy.
Yes, there are many times where it just, you know, someone's at a point where there's a crisis. They want to move quickly, and not that counseling has to be a slow, drawn out process. But there are many times where a businessman will say, "Man, I just need to take a week off and find healing for this thing." Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have a lot of local people who will go through an intensive program.
You know, we were talking about earlier, and I had mentioned I know that medical physicians, they have places to go because mm-hmm. they're not immune from it. In fact,
right.
they see so many bad things that I'm surprised there's not more of it, because they're just subjected to things that most of us can't even imagine. But do you ever deal with groups that maybe would like to start something, just like for the ministry? Maybe religious groups that may be able to set something up for their own ministers who go through certain things. I know that maybe the preachers and ministers mm-hmm. and pastors go through a lot of things that unfortunately they can't open up to, because they may lose their jobs over
right.
as we know that certain things can happen in their family, and then unfortunately the way the rules are set up, they're gone, which has always been a consternation of mine. I hate to see those things happen, because they're human just like everyone else. But in law enforcement and those type of things, businesses, is there a way to set something up where those people can have a place to go within their own group environment?
We are more and more, as Branches is growing and God is helping us to kind of get that word out more and more, we're seeing groups do that very thing, establish what we might call, you know, EAPs, employee mm-hmm. assistant programs, where a group or an organization will say, "Hey, if you'll take care of our people when they come, we want you to know we support that." I, as you might guess, I have a special affinity for the clergy, for mm-hmm. ministers. We never charge ministers. Ministers can come anytime for any kind of
good
help.
For you.
We never charge ministers. But getting the church to stand behind them and support them, recognize that they're human, sometimes that's a difficult thing.
Can you do that without the church's knowledge?
We do. Yeah, sometimes we do. Now, ultimately, you know, I have to be blunt and say, ultimately, I think that for real healing to take place, that person needs to hold their head tall
right.
and say, "Hey, I made a mistake, and I'm moving on with this." So many times the individual will go back, and although the church never knew it, the individual will go back and say, "Hey, I struggle with this, and I've gotten help, and you can make whatever decision you want to make." But there are a lot of groups that are beginning to recognize, particularly the ones you mentioned, law enforcement and clergy and physicians. We're in kind of a high-risk area because of what we do, mm-hmm. and it's very helpful to work with a group like Branches to say we'll take care of your people, and we thoroughly enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I know that law enforcement had a source that they yeah. dealt with a number of times, and they would go to the Sheriff's Association meetings and to the Chiefs meetings and mm-hmm. things like that and offer their services, and it really was worthwhile, because I've known a number of law enforcement officers that have been through that, and we're talking about extraordinary issues with those particular
right.
people.
Oh, yeah, the things they see.
Yeah, and having to deal with other people or other persons' problems during the time that they're going through this similar type situation is extremely difficult
right,
for those
right.
people.
Now, the other thing they could do is come on the radio and just talk about it in front of the whole listening audience. That, mm-hmm. that'd probably help them get the word out.
I bet it would be the it would be the most listened to.
That's right.
I don't think I'm going to try that.
If you could announce in advance, we got so-and-so coming, they're going to confess all their sins, that would
yeah.
be a well-listened-to program.
Let's don't do that.
that's probably wise to pass on that.
Now, why your book uh-huh. actually was the first step toward what you're doing now. Are you planning on maybe expanding what you're doing? Because as you and I have been talking, there are so many different issues that come up and so many different avenues that could open up.
Right.
I was just wondering if you're looking at anything right now as far as expanding what you're doing.
Well, we're kind of about 2 years into, my belief is if I could work myself out of a job, then I've done a good job. Other people ought to be trained and equipped to do this kind of thing. So we mm-hmm. established a school a couple of years ago called New Life University, mm-hmm. where we train and equip licensed pastoral counselors mm-hmm. from a biblical perspective, but it's a two-year program that they go through. When they are finished, they are certified as licensed pastoral counselors. It's a wonderful program. It actually has really taken off. We have about 70 students now, many of them from the Middle Tennessee area. We have some that come in from quite a distance, from Kentucky and Florida mm-hmm. and Texas, but most of them from the Middle Tennessee area, and they come in. We do it on a seminar type basis, where they will come about 8 weekends out of the year. They'll mm-hmm. come a Friday and a Saturday and do that for 2 years and go through all types of training and practice and practicums. And we're really proud of that. And again, at the end of the day, if Branches closed its doors because there were so many helpers out there helping people, I would feel like we've really done a good job. I doubt that that's going to happen, but yeah, that's the next big step for us.
We can have you on at least once a week, and I've got a feeling that that would put you out of business, because I'm sitting here listening. I'm starting to feel better already.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to be the Murfreesboro Dr. Phil.
Hey, that would be great. Now, when you were going through all this, and I got to thinking about all the things that happened, and one of the things that you said makes more sense than anything that I know of as far as a person's being able to stay mentally healthy, it is friendship. And mm-hmm. you know, that's one thing that I've always been so blessed with, and especially in this community, is friends.
Right.
And I can't think of a place anywhere else in this country where you can go to where they accept you in like they do here with open arms. And I can tell you right now, growing up here mm-hmm. and going through the schools, I have still maintained close friendships with many of my fellow students all the way through the times that I've been here.
That's
and
great.
People don't realize how comforted it is to be able to talk to people that really understand you and like you. I mean,
right.
it's such a great thing.
Well, it is. And you obviously have just a great gift for friendship and personality for that. And what I have known about you and listening to you, you have a gift for that. But I will say that if people can, the very first sign that there's problems, people begin to isolate, withdraw, pull away. But if you have developed that group of whether it's in the church or in a I play tennis. I'm mm-hmm. in a tennis league, and those guys are.
And you're a runner.
And I'm a runner, mm-hmm. and those guys are friends of mine, and they miss me when I'm not there, and they ask about me and that kind of thing. If you can develop that type of support, and you're right, Murfreesboro is as good a place as there is for that kind of thing. It's always funny to me that. Seems like most of the restaurants in Murfreesboro are busier at lunchtime than they are at supper time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they're friends gathering together and talking with each other. If you can do that, there's nothing that I could suggest that would help you to live a healthier life more than that. Have two or three people that are invested in your life and you're invested in them and they love you enough to, mm-hmm. to ask you hard questions and you're willing to be open and transparent with them. We're blessed to live in a place where that happens and we need to take advantage of it.
And sometimes I think we make our inner circle too compact,
mm-hmm.
just like law enforcement. I
right.
mean, that's the worst in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Law enforcement officers, they stick with each other, and it's hard for them to break loose.
Yeah.
And you need friendships outside of your normal workstation, and I can tell you ministers are a lot that way,
Oh, too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you need friends that you have something in common with that has nothing to do with what you do on a day-to-day basis.
And I want to let you know, as we're talking about this particular subject, that part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And you can reach them at 713-4639. That's 713-4639. Or check them out on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And they come into your home when you're no longer able to take care of the normal chores at home and you're having a hard time just making it on your own. Give them a call because they'll come in 24/7, take care of all your duties at home and many, many other things 24/7. And I tell you what, you'll be glad you called because it'll make your life a whole lot better.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
We make important choices in our lives every day. You owe it to yourself to make an informed decision about where to receive cancer treatment. The Cancer Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center offers the area's only accredited program. That means it meets the high standards set by the Commission on Cancer. We consider it a blessing to provide you with the very best care available. To locate an MTMC physician, call 284-LIFE. Why choose any place else?
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service, on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Mike Courtney. Mike, tell us again the name of your book, and then tell us about your business and a telephone number that they can call. And I'm sure there's some people out there that will be calling you tonight.
I appreciate that, Truman. Yeah, I wrote a book called Failure and How I Achieved It, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a fun but intense look at dealing with addictions and depression and overcoming that. Branches Recovery Center, that's www.branchesrecoverycenter.com. Mm-hmm. We're on Battleground here in Murfreesboro, and the phone number is 615-904-7170. It's been a delight to be here with you.
Oh, it's been fun, Mike, and I want you back on my show. And I guarantee you, this has been one of the more enlightening shows I've had, and I really appreciate what you've done for us today. And want to let you know that the rest of this week we have Greg Tucker tomorrow, and then we have Mo Brown Black and Peggy Vaught on Wednesday. And that may be turned into a war before that one's over with. And we have Lynn Watson from Middle Tennessee Christian School will be on Thursday. And Dr. Jim Nunnery, one of my favorite people in the world, will be on with us Friday. See ya.